Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles, open to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and we're going to read verses 105 through 112 together. Psalm 119, verses 105 through 112. Let me just quickly make a couple introductory remarks, and then I will jump right into the lesson. Psalm 119 is broken up into 22 sections. There are 8 verses in each section, and each section is about the Word of God. Most Bibles, and by the way, if yours does not have this, doesn't mean that it's a bad Bible, all right? And just so you know, if yours doesn't have it, I can't tell you that it was there in the originals. I think it was added, but it's neither here nor there. All of the verses are exactly as God gave them, just so you know. But the Jews, the Hebrews, would use this to teach their children the alphabet. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. There are 22 sections in Psalm 119. For instance, we would say A for apple, or B for ball, or C for my secretary's cranky. Those kind of things. And we would relate a letter with a picture or a sound or that type of thing to teach children how to read. That's what the Jews did. There are 8 words for the Word of God used all the way through Psalm 119. By the way, you'll find out that throughout the whole Bible, these words are used, not just in Psalm 119. And they all refer to the Word of God. The word law, testimonies, ways, precepts, statutes, commandments, judgments, and word. Those 8 words are the words used in reference to the Word of God. Tonight, we have the section, Psalm 119, verses 105 through 112, N-U-N, none. I'm not sure it's exactly like that, but that's how I'm going to say it, and you don't know any different anyway, all right? So, I thank God I don't have to read Hebrew. I really do. It's backwards. It starts at the bottom on the right and goes left and up. It's reversed from what we do. And say, why do they do that? I don't know, and I don't care. I read the right way, amen? And so here we go. Let's read these verses together. You follow along silently. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and will perform it, that I keep thy righteous judgments. I'm afflicted very much. Some of you, that could be your life's verse, couldn't it? I'm afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth. O Lord, teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. Now, look at me, if you will. The whole section here, the section none, is written to show us how the Bible is to shine the light on the path we are walking in this dark world. Did you know that the Word of God is there to put a light on your path, so that you know how to walk through this dark, nasty world? Folks, it's pretty yucky out there, isn't it? I'm not talking about the weather. I'm talking about the world. Good night. You got the sodomites. You got the liberals. You got the socialists. You got the communists. You got the God haters. It seems like if you're a Christian, you're the bad guy and everybody else is the good guy. Now, I'm not saying that's true, but we're getting to that point in time in the balance of history to where it's getting pretty rough once again. Now, the Bible says, and by the way, it seems the longer I live, the darker this world gets. I'm not real old, no comments, young people, but I'm only 48 years old, but my world has changed dramatically since I was a young person. And I mean dramatically. Just a couple weeks ago, we were back in Ohio, and I got to see my grandmother. And at 97 years old, I looked at her, and I thought, boy, how the world has changed in her lifetime. Unbelievably. She has lived almost 40% of American history. And think through that. She's lived almost 40%, I think it's 39.84 something or other percent, since America became a nation, she has lived. Can you imagine the changes in her life? She was born before the end of World War I. She has been through the end of World War I. She went through the Roaring Twenties. She went through the Depression of the 30s, World War II, the revitalization and revamping of America in the 50s, the hippie movement of the 60s. She went through all the troubles of the 70s, been through the 80s, the 90s, the turn of the millennium, and clear up till now. They went from almost no air travel to where they didn't even hardly have a telephone to knowing what one was. Television hadn't been invented yet, and there was no such thing as a cell phone. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They were lucky if they lived in town because they had indoor plumbing. And I could go on and on and on. She has seen so much change in her life. And I thought, in my half of that, my grandmother, in a couple months, I will be half as old as she is. She was my age when I was born. I'm thinking, man, no wonder she's slowing down. Now, wait a minute. Listen to me very carefully. The Bible is the light that shines on the path so that we know how to live and we can get through this dark world. All right? Now, I have with me a flashlight. I keep that in my truck. And I'm going to wake Tony up here. There we go. All right. Now, wait a minute here. I carry this with me most of the time when I go hunting. Not all the time, but most of the time, depending on especially where I'm hunting and which stand I'm hunting. Some of them I can get to without a flashlight, doesn't matter how dark it is. But others I take with me. Most of the time, if I'm going to do an evening hunt, I'll take it with me. Now, it's not on when I go to the stand, but if I shoot something, it's going to get dark and I'm going to need it. And I use this to light my path when I'm out in the woods. Now, there we go. I can fine-tune it a little bit, make it a little brighter there. I'm going to wake up Brother Barnes. He had a long week this week. And I don't need the LED upgrade either. This works just fine. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? I've been out in the woods a lot. Do you know that when you take that out and it's 9 o'clock at night and you're walking through the woods, the whole woods doesn't light up? There's enough light to get you a couple steps ahead, and that's about it. You can even look up ahead and try to figure out where you're supposed to go, but boy, if you've ever been in a tangled, briary-type woods looking for a deer, all those tangles with very little light don't make any sense at all. There's no backdrop behind it of light to see. So you're literally going only a couple steps at a time with your light. Now listen to this very carefully. It only shows the most pressing steps, which are the first few steps ahead of you. You're only looking one or two steps ahead. You know, in the woods, you're literally only about one, two steps from where you were. Can I tell you something? That is exactly what the Word of God does in your life. Too many people want the Bible to be the sunlight and light the whole thing up, and they just start walking. God said the Word of God is like a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my paths. We want God to illuminate the sky with the sunshine. May I say this, the S-O-N shine has already paid the price for you. The Son of God paid the price to give you the Word of God to light your path. Now wait a minute. God never promised to show you the end. He just promised to light the path for you. He didn't promise to show you the whole path. He said, if you'll use my word, I'll light your path for your feet. Now, I don't know about you, but again, I've traveled in the woods. Hang on here. I got to get microphones working here. I've traveled in the woods enough You basically walk through the woods like this. And every couple steps, you're going to make sure you're not going to whack yourself with something. And it gets real exciting as you step over a log or something and you don't know there's a hole there. Say, what happens? Then you're lighting up the top of the trees because you're laying on your back going, ugh, how'd that happen? Been there, done that. Now, wait a minute. God never promised to even show you the junctions before they get there. The Bible is not there like the sunshine to illuminate the whole world for you all at one time. God said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Wow. How many times do we get upset with God because we want to see the end before we start down the path? God said it doesn't work that way. If I showed you the end, most of the time you'd never go there. If I showed you what was coming, you'd never make it. And you'd never be strong enough to get to the end. You got to take it one step at a time. You've got to take it one truth at a time. People get frustrated. Oh, I've read the Bible. I just don't understand it, preacher. Let me ask you a question. Are you living one truth? And until you get saved, this Bible won't make as much sense to you. See, you have to obey in salvation. Then God opens it up. He lights the path so that you can take the next step. Amen? All right, here we go. As you learn a truth, it lights the way to take the next truth and the next step. But not until you turn it on and take that step do you get to the next step. By the way, let me show you what I mean. Dad, hush. I'm just going to tell him that in advance. Amen. I've tracked a lot of deer. But there's one thing about your preacher that's totally different than anybody else. I cannot see blood. I'm colorblind. Now, tracking deer in the daylight is bad enough, but you ought to track deer, red blood on green and brown things in the woods at night, it doesn't work. Okay? Now, my son Jeff, I call him Hoover Track. That boy can sniff a drop of blood at 300 yards. I'm telling you. I don't know where he finds this stuff. I said, there's blood. No, Dad, that's just old rotted leaf. No, it's not. That's blood. He said, touch it. Okay. I can't see that stuff. But I have found I've found more deer than he has because I've been hunting a lot longer. I've learned how to track other ways. And I've learned how to look down the deer path and, okay, it went this way. I heard it go that way, so I know it's in that general direction. I found one drop of blood one time, got my son Jeff. He tracked that thing. It probably didn't go 50 yards, but it felt like 5 miles. I'm not kidding. It went this way, that way, this way, ran around through here, and then it piled up behind a log. We had been wiggling and waggling through briars, and I'm not talking these little rosebush briars. I'm talking about, you know, 2-3-4-inch long briars that when you hit, they hit you and they just through canvas, you know. It's like, ooh, okay, that hurt. And you're digging them things out. All of a sudden, after about an hour, I hear Jeff say, found it! And I say, thank God. He said, you get to drag it out. I ain't coming back through that mess, Dad. Oh, we had to go all the way around and try to figure out. Now, wait a minute. When you're crawling through that stuff, you can't see very far. My dad will tell you. We shot a deer, and we looked for 2 hours. I couldn't find it. He couldn't find it. I said, it's okay. I'll get up early. I'll go out tomorrow morning, Dad. I got up the next morning, got out there just about sunrise. I crossed the fence. I knew where, because we had marked where it had crossed the fence over into another part of the woods. And I'll promise you, it was as close as I am to Brother Ron from that fence. We had looked for 2 hours. But it had fallen under a log and turned itself the other way, and you couldn't see the white belly in the dark. We stepped over top of that deer that night. I literally was as close to that deer as I am Connor right now. And we never saw it. Say why? Because the light didn't show all the way around. Once I had enough light to see the whole thing, it made sense. But not until then. Now, listen to me very carefully here, and I will help you. The same is true in life. The pathway of life is dark, it's tangled, difficult, face many oppositions, get stuck every once in a while. But the Bible is going to give you the courage, the strength, and the light to get through it. Doesn't mean you're going to come through unscathed, but at least you're going to get down the path. See, God didn't say that the Bible was going to keep you from problems necessarily, but it did say it would light your path. You can get all the way down the path. You can get down the pathway that you need to get down. Now, let me help you, and I promise you this will be encouraging to you. It was to me. It has been to me for many, many, many years, and I want to help you. Look at verse number 106. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgment. You know, the Bible can only light your path when you use it. One time I was out hunting. Dad said, you got your flashlight? I said, sure. I went and turned it on. Nothing. He said, turn it on. I said, I think batteries are dead, Dad. He said, what'd you bring it out here with dead batteries for? I said, I don't know. You know, it doesn't do you any good if you don't turn it on. You know, you can carry a flashlight with you and stumble in the darkness because you never turn it on. You can carry it with you, but if you never turn it on, what good is it? Now, that one's big enough you could do whack somebody with it. But past that, you know, I'm going to make a statement here. Knowing how the light works, understanding the electrical components, understanding the lighting filament and the focusing part of this thing is all well and good. I don't care how many facts you know about that, unless you turn it on, doesn't do you any good. The same is true with the Word of God. I don't care how many facts you know about it. I don't care how pretty it looks. I don't care how much you carry it. If you do not use it, guess what? It doesn't do you any good. I was down at Sheets filling my truck up with fuel this afternoon. I jumped out of my truck and there's a fella standing up against his just waiting on the gas pump to finish up. I jumped out in my suit and popped things open. I said, good afternoon, sir. How are you? He looked at me. He said, I'm doing fine. You? I said, I'm doing great. He said, great? I said, great. And I got my stuff going on the pump. I reached in my pocket and I pulled out a gospel tract and handed it to him. He said, I knew you had to be some kind of preacher. I said, how'd you know that? He said, because nobody else does great. I said, Tony the Tiger did. And he started laughing. I think he was from Jamaica or he was from one of the island areas originally. And we struck up a conversation and he's not a Christian, but he at least got the gospel. Amen. Wait a minute. My first reaction was the Holy Spirit said, give him a tract. I said, I'm at the gas station, God. Just let me pump my gas in peace. All right. And I fought that, just so you know. Say why? I didn't want him laughing at me. I didn't know if he had a gun or going to shoot me. I had no idea. But you know what I did? I pulled out the light and started using it. I pulled out the light and started using it. Just carrying it around in my pocket didn't do me any good. I had to pull it out and use it. Now, the Bible needs to be used in order to light your path. I'm going to make a statement. I get a little weary of modern or what we call contemporary Christianity. It's all intellectualism. We want to have fancy outlines, and we want to teach ethereal things and sound fancy and sound like we know a lot of stuff. But how many people are actually using what they know? Again, you go to a hospital, I don't care how much the doctors know, if they don't practice it, what good is it? If you go to the hospital and they look at you and say, well, I know what's wrong with you, turn around, walk out, and never give you a diagnosis, never give you a pathway or a plan to fix what's wrong with you, what good was the doctor's visit? And I know many of you have been through that, amen? But let's face it, until you start using what you do know, it is worthless. Now, number two, the Bible gives you the life needed to make it through the tough times. Look at verses 107 and 108. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me. The word quicken meaning give life. O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. Can I tell you something? You're not always going to feel like taking the next step. You're not. You're not always going to feel like going on. Do you know there are days I get up and think, can't I just go back to bed, God, and just let the world die for a day and let me just be alone? No. Get up. Run to the Word of God. Or as I preached last Sunday morning, plug yourself in. Get yourself plugged in. I'll be honest with you. I get tired of battling the devil sometimes. Not tired of doing it, but I get tired doing it. I texted a preacher friend. I said, man, seems like the last 3 weeks, almost all of hell has been launched against us here. He said, well, I got the other part of almost here. Don't worry. He said, I found the rest of it. I said, I understand. I said, it just seems like it comes in waves. And then I said, I got encouraged. I did. I got myself encouraged in the affliction. I thought, how can I encourage my pastor friend? He sounds almost as down as I am right now, Miss Ellen. I said, wait a minute, we're charging the gates of hell. Do you know what happens when you're charging the gates of hell? You're going to rattle what's on the other side of them gates and get some attention. I said, Doc, at least we're going the right direction. Because the devil isn't fighting those that aren't going the right direction. I said, we are going the right direction. Let's keep on fighting. He said, let's do it. I said, all right. Guess what? Got my Bible, got strengthened, got encouraged. I found out some things in the Word of God, charged me back up, and here we go. Amen. I don't stay down. I just need some life breathed back into me. You say, how do you do that? By the Word of God. Oh, I'm just so depressed. I'm just so discouraged. Read the Bible, live the Bible, and light your path. Turn it on and use it. Turn it on and use it. I'm going to tell on myself for a second here. I didn't send flowers to my sister-in-law's mom's funeral. Don't get mad at me. Now, I knew Jackie. I knew my brother and my sister-in-law. I know her brothers. I know her family. But I waited till my brother and sister-in-law got back home, and my wife and I sent her a plant to the house. I thought, you know, after everything's over, and all the hoopla and all the family's gone, all the support's gone, and they had to drive from Ohio to Florida, they might need something when they get back home. So my wife and I sent a plant on Monday. Late Monday afternoon, my phone buzzed. And my sister-in-law said, Craig, I have wanted one of those kinds of plants for years. Every time I look at it now, I can think of my mom. Thanks. I thought, got one for once. One out of 3,000 isn't bad, amen? Now, wait a minute. I just thought it might be a good effort to make. a little contrary. By the way, I told my brother while he was in Ohio, I said, I'm not going to send flowers to the funeral. I'm going to do it when you get home. He got home. He said, don't bother. We're okay. We don't need anything. I said, too late. Already did it. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Sometimes we just need to think out a little outside that and push that help beyond what other people have done. You know, I get life by doing that. I sent the text to my wife. I thought, man, that encouraged me. That encouraged me. I'd been fighting some battles, but it encouraged me to know that something I did helped somebody at least once. And it breathed a little life into me. Now, wait a minute. I get new life by helping others. The Bible talks about a free will offering of my mouth. Did you know speaking kind words to help people will give you life? I'll be honest with you. I don't hang around negative people very much. Say why? Because I can't stay encouraged around negative people too long. Now, I stay around negative news, but I'm not negative around it. I go soul winning. I live for others. I do things for others. You say, why? Because that's what gives life to me, and it's what the Bible says do, and it lights your path so that you can walk that pathway. Each time I do that, it opens up another chapter of the book, another verse, another application, and I say, hot dog, here we go again, God. What you going to teach me this time? You see, as you obey it, God opens up more. Now, number three, I'll hurry. The Bible, look. Everybody look at me for a second. I love you. This is summertime, but this one's going to help you, all right? Here we go. The Bible will help control your attitude or your direction. Look at Psalm 119, verse 109. My soul, circle the word soul, is continually in my hand. Yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Now I want you to notice something. The soul. It doesn't say my spirit. It doesn't say my body. It says my soul. My soul is my personality. It is that which I communicate to other people with. And he says, my soul or my attitude is in my hand. Can I tell you something? If you have a bad attitude, it's your fault. My attitude is my fault. Do you know, if my wife has a bad day, my attitude's my fault, not hers. My daughter has a bad day, and she never has one. But if she ever had a bad day, if she's had a bad day, my attitude is my fault, not hers. I got an emergency text from my daughter this morning. My beagle just became a full-fledged dog. She caught a rabbit. She caught it in the backyard. One bite on the back end and paralyzed it and broke its legs. And the girls got out there as the rabbit is wounded and rescued the rabbit and put it in a bucket. And I thought, one more crunch and it was over. What'd you do that for? We couldn't let it in. So when I got home, I had to take care of it. Now, it wasn't going to make it, just so you know. I mean, halfway back, it was just, you know, it was totally crippled, gone. Legs were going about four directions each. And the poor widow thing wasn't going to live. So I put him into eternity. We did not have rabbit stew, just so you know. Nor it was just not a very big one. And this time of year, you can't eat those kinds of rabbits. But I put it out of it. Now, wait a minute. They could have had a bad day over that. Didn't bother me. I got home. My dog was jumping on me. I say, good dog, good dog, good dog. My daughter says, Dad, she was a bad dog today. I said, what was she bad for? What'd she do? She got that rabbit. I said, no, that's a good dog. Come here, Ginger. I said, did you get the rabbit? You know, yeah. Get a whole bunch more of them things, amen? Keep them out of my garden. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? I didn't let it affect my attitude. I want you to notice something. God says your soul is in your hand. That means you control it. What's in your hands, most of the time, we control. Can I tell you something? As you read the Word of God, it shows you how to control your soul. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him. And God tells us what to hate. Did you know hating is not a sin? But hating a brother or a sister in Christ is? You know, I hate the devil. I hate sin, but I don't hate sinners. I hate what sin does. I hate alcohol. I hate everything related to the alcohol industry, but I don't hate the alcoholic. I hate what his life is doing. I hate how he's wasting his life, but I do not hate the alcoholic. I hate the evils of our day. But may I say this, I don't hate the people. Everybody understand that? I cannot wait for the front row seats to watch God throw old smutty face into hell for the last time. I'm looking forward to that, folks. I'm sick and tired of seeing sin and what sin does to everybody and how it hurts people. I get tired of it. I'm ready. Now, listen to this very carefully here. You get life by the Word of God. And the Bible will help control your attitude. On an airplane, and I'm not a pilot, and you're glad. But on an airplane, they have an indicator there. It's called the attitude indicator. The attitude indicator, it's not really a compass, but it's similar to a compass. And it shows what direction you're headed and at what degrees that you're headed in. Guess what? Your attitude shows what direction you're headed. Fellas, when you get home and you say, honey, how are you? I'm fine. Okay, the attitude just indicated which direction it's going. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Ladies, when he comes home and you say, boy, I'm just excited. I saw this new dress and new purse and new shoes. And he goes, You just saw what the attitude was. Amen. You don't have to go much farther. Now, fellas, if she's made a new dinner, it's a new trial. You always say, that's different. Whether you like it or not, amen? Man, I've eaten stuff sometimes. My wife didn't find out for years I didn't like it. Say, why? What she feeds me, I will swallow, amen? Now, after a few years, I've said, okay, I don't think I can handle that much more, amen? You say, why? Not because it was bad to her. I just didn't like it. Now, listen to me very carefully here. The obedience to the Bible controls your direction or your attitude. Do you know, when I find myself getting a bad attitude, I go to the Word of God. When I find myself getting a discouraged attitude, I go to the Word of God. When I find myself getting angry, I go to the Word of God. When I find myself wanting just to sit down and cry and boo-hoo and have a self-pity party, I go to the Word of God. Those are things that I run to, and I know where to run to in the Bible to help get me out of that. Every once in a while, I just need God to kick me in the royal seat and say, get up and get going. Anybody doing all right? And by the way, verse 1:10 says, the wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Can I tell you something? The wicked are going to try to catch you in a bad attitude. Did you ever notice that at work? You know, they can cuss, swear, do stupid things, sleep, do things they're not supposed to do, but let the Christian guy do one thing wrong and everybody's on top of him. Well, I thought you were a Christian. Yeah, I'm a Christian, but that doesn't mean I'm perfect. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Boy, I'm having fun tonight. Is anybody else out there having fun? I am. Whew. You know, wicked people will try to trap or scare you. You know, the traps of the wicked are to try to intimidate you. I've had a couple groundhogs in my backyard this year, and I've live trapped them. They're as big as the dog. She doesn't like them either. But I've trapped them. You know, you go to pick them up in that trap, and they're scared to death. Now, they'll lash, and they'll run back and forth in there. There's no room much for them to run. But they're scared. You know what? That's what the world tries to do to you. Do you know, as you go soul winning, the world's going to try to scare you. My favorite statement, I'm Catholic. And they get ready to slam the door. I say, that's okay. God will forgive you for that too. I'll make a joke about it. I'm not there to scare anybody. By the way, they don't scare me. They really don't. It's the word of God they're scared of, not you. So quit letting them try to scare you. Did you know when other Christians don't act real well towards you, they don't have to bother you? You know, if a fellow Christian doesn't treat me right, I don't have a bad day over it. I really don't. Say, what do? I'll say, have a good day, thanks. And I walk away and I'll say, Lord, help them. Obviously, they're bitter. Help them. Something's wrong. Help them have a good day. I have the victory over that then. For me to get upset because somebody didn't shake my hand, somebody didn't speak to me, somebody wasn't kind to me, somebody said something ugly to me, who cares? I'm not going to let that affect my attitude. See, the Bible gives you principles on which you should stand and stand strong. Recently, one of my boys had to take a pretty tough stand. And it was hard. But you know what? I'm very proud of him. He became an unbelievably strong young man. Stood on the word of God. Stood on principle. Stood for right. And he's a much better man because of it. Did it hurt? Oh yeah, it hurt him. But when he got through it, he said, Dad, I feel better now. Good. Let's keep on going. I'm going to. And we have. Amen? Number four, and I'm done. Promise you. The obedience to the Bible will last generations and helps following generations. Look at verse number 111. Thy testimonies have I taken, watch this, as an heritage forever. For they are rejoicing in my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. Look at me for a second. Did you know I'm preaching the same Bible my grandparents got preached to under? That's good. You know that I'm preaching the same Bible my great-grandparents heard preached to them? Amen. And my great-great-grandparents? And their great-grandparents? And so on? Do you know I have the same salvation that all of my grandparents that are in heaven and that my wife's grandparents that are in heaven have? This Friday, it will have been 35 years ago, this Friday evening, in a place called Guatemoc, Chihuahua, Mexico. I was on a missions trip with my youth department. My youth director conned me to go into Mexico saying, hey, it's 2 weeks away from home in a foreign country. Wouldn't you like to go? Yeah, he didn't tell me we're going to get preached at about four times a day. Didn't tell me we're going to build church buildings and stuff, but I'll go. Man, I got preached at so much. It was like summer camp on steroids, let me tell you. I got down there. We were in a church in a place called Guatemoc, Chihuahua. Brother Stoltz, missionary, got up and preached that night. Probably a building that would seat enough seats to fill this section over here. Not much more than that. It was packed. The guy preached in Spanish. I knew taco and I knew baño. Those of you that don't know what baño means, that means bathroom. Okay, that's an important word to learn when you go to a foreign country, amen? Baño. I knew those two words. And past that, I'm not sure I knew much else Spanish, let me tell you. Hola. Gringo, amen? I didn't know any more than that. But I watched a bunch of Mexicans sit through a hot church service, no air conditioning, in the middle of the summer. I watched that man preach and people get up and walk down the aisle and get saved. And I watched things take place and God started working in my heart. And I'd been fighting it for a couple years. I still to this day don't know one thing that man said while he was preaching. But I got up, I walked up front, fell on my face in a puddle of tears, and I felt this hand on my shoulder. It was my youth director. He said, "Craig, what's the matter?" I said, "I don't know." He said, "Well, let's pray." He prayed. I cried. He said, "So what is it?" I said, "I don't know." He said, "God calling to preach?" I said, "I hope not." He said, "Well, let's," and he prayed again. I'm still crying and snotting. Got a little more intense, amen? He said, "Craig, God called you to preach, hadn't he?" I said, "I think so." He said, "Are you going to give in?" I said, "I don't know." He said, "Let's pray." That was the prayingest man I ever met in my life. Finally, after the third time, I said, "That's it, I'm done. I'll give in. If that's what God wants, he ain't got much, but I'll give him what I got." He said, "Hot dog." I got up. He's crying and snotting. I'm crying and snotting. Then he tells everybody, "I surrendered to preach." I thought, "All right, no problem." And in front of everybody that came from the United States, he said, "And Craig's preaching on the bus tomorrow morning." I said, "I am?" "This Saturday, I will have preached 35 years ago my first sermon." You say, "What did you preach?" "I have no idea, but it didn't come out real good then either." "I stayed up all night long. There's got to be something in here somewhere to preach. There's a lot of words. What can I do?" And it was bad. Now, wait a minute. You know what? I'm still preaching the same Bible. Still seeing people get saved, like got saved by the hundreds and nearly thousand that one week. I've seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people saved since that day. I'm not saying hundreds and thousands, hundreds of thousands. I can't believe what God did. Whew. Right now my son's preaching under a tent in Kentucky. And I got another one who's a solid church member there in Kentucky. Got another one leaving for Bible college in 19 and a half days. And all those things. Now, wait a minute. I have Bibles in my office from my ministry. I'll pass down to my family. I hope someday my grandkids, if we live long enough, and I die and go to heaven, one of my grandkids will look through a Bible and say, "This was my grandpa's Bible." By the way, I have my grandparents' Bibles. They're on a shelf in my office. My boys and my daughter and their children will be able to look through Bibles that were their great-grandparents' Bibles. Whew. Guess what? I'm glad I'm preaching the same one they had. You see, Christianity goes generation after generation. You don't inherit it, but you pass it down. The Bible doesn't change. Let's keep the old book going. Let's live the old book. You have to purpose. The Bible says, "I have inclined mine heart." That means it's going uphill and I had to go against the flow. I had to purpose myself to make it up that hill. Can I tell you something? I may die in the battle, but let me tell you something. That's the book that's going down with me. I'm not changing it. Say why? It is the light unto my path. It's the light for my feet. Let me say this one more time. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You're not going to light the whole woods up. Jimmy and Erica, your family, I wish I could tell you what the end of the path is. I can't. My heart's broke for you. Brother Barnes, wished I could tell you everything's going to happen to Jeb, but I can't. Mindy, wished I could tell you everything's going to happen in your life, girl. But I can't. Say why? We only have a couple steps ahead to look at. Let's not worry about the entanglement out there. Let's trust the Word of God and take it one step at a time. Can I tell you something? If somebody would have told me 35 years ago, I would be in Martinsburg, West Virginia, pastoring Grace Baptist Church. After I laughed at them, I'd throw up on them. I never saw what God would do. Never saw that I didn't even know what Hiles Anderson College was, and Jack Hiles, at that point in time, never even heard of him. Then I went to his Bible college, graduated, went to California. That was one part of the path I would have avoided had I known. Went to South Carolina for years, went back and worked for Brother Hiles for years, came back here, worked with Brother Owens and started this church. Hey, I didn't ever chosen the path. My mom and dad will tell you, I came back, I was ready to go back to Mexico and be a missionary the rest of my life. But my pastor was wise and said, you just do what God wants you to do. Don't put a limit on it. Don't put a ceiling on God. Just do whatever God wants. Whew. I've reached far more people doing God's will than I did my will any day. Far more. One step at a time. Didn't light too far ahead. Quit asking God to illuminate the entire woods for you. Let's just worry about the light unto our feet. And let's look a couple steps ahead. By the way, if you look too far ahead, you're not going to keep going. Trust me. You look too far ahead, you don't want to keep going. Remember the first time I went off a high dive. 5-meter board, 15, 16 feet in the air. I used to love to swim and dive. I got up on that 5-meter board climbing that thing and I went, whew, I'm way up here. And I heard somebody say, don't look down, just go. As soon as you hit the top, just run and jump. Because if you don't, you're going to freeze. What'd you do? I just kept looking at the steps. Got up. Looked out and went, whew. Looked at the board, and it was a long way to the bottom. But I did it. I was only 5 years old. You're laughing, I'm not. I couldn't have been more than about 7 or 8, I'm sure. I just was in me. Now, wait a minute. Sometimes you don't look too far ahead, just the next step. Because that's how you get through it. Amen? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. How much are you using the Word of God in your life? Any of you that are 25, 30 years old or older, you know what I'm talking about. Life sure has changed a lot, hasn't it? Didn't take the path you thought you were going to take. Took a lot of turns in it you didn't expect. And the Word of God is there to illuminate it each and every step of the way.